Well, good morning. If you would take out your Bibles and open up to John chapter 5, we're going to start there in a minute. Page 1064 if you're in the pew Bible. As we're going to continue through, this will be our last lesson on this topic about voices after death. I think there's a natural curiosity that we have in thinking if those who have gone before us and who have passed, if they were to be able to tell us something, what would they want to share with us? And in thinking along those lines, it brings us to see, so often we think about this being a new year. Maybe you think about it being a new month. Maybe you think about it a new week, a new day. No matter how you want to cut up time, whether it be a new century or a new millennium, it all boils down to the same thing. Do you want this day, this week, this month, this year, this life, to be one that's blessed or cursed by God? And it has everything to do with how we respond to Him. And I want you to think, as we're going to read through a few verses here in John and look at a couple of other places this morning, of thinking in terms of how do we know that we've passed out of death into life? We're talking about spiritually. It's very, very easy to tell when someone physically dies. Yet spiritually to consider, that's what we really need to be looking at in terms of our own souls, our own lives. Listen to these words of Jesus out of John chapter 5. Look at verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. He boils it down to two things. He says, the one who hears my word. And notice it's the idea of an ongoing response to God. Not one of these statements of, I listened once, but the idea of to continue to be a listener. He says, hears my word. He says, and believes, an ongoing response, believes him who sent me. To truly believe that God's the one who sent Jesus. He says, you respond to my words. He says, you recognize that I came from my Father and I was sent by him. He says, you respond this way and understand hearing is not just I have the physical capability of hearing tones. It's about a response to his word. He says, here's my word and believes him who sent me. He says, has eternal life. Notice he doesn't say, will have eternal life. He says, has it now. So realize, even with Jesus being under the old covenant at this point in John chapter 5, he's saying, if you will respond to my word and believe that I came from the Father and respond that way, you have eternal life. Because then it means you'll follow every commandment, every statement. You're going to be attentive to his word. You're going to realize he came from God. Who can tell us how to get back home except for the one who came from there? Then notice the rest of the verse. He says, and does not come into judgment. Don't have to have any fear of the judgment of God. Because I know I'm being attentive to his voice, to do it his way, responding to do it. Because I know it's his Father who sent him. He says, don't have to be concerned about judgment. And then here's why. He says, but has passed out of death into life. You have cleared away the darkness of death and come to life. The light that's in Christ. If you stop and take a step back for a second, we all entered this world pure and innocent when we were born. No sin, just like the way Jesus entered in terms of purity before God. Now, we know it wasn't the exact same way as Jesus entered in. Our mothers probably weren't virgins. I say that tongue in cheek. I know they weren't. But you realize here of going pure and innocent before God, how did we get into death? We started working off of our own ways, our own thinking, our own mindsets, our own motives. And we did it our way, and we died spiritually. We weren't willing to listen to God to do it his way. We weren't going to listen to Jesus to do it his way. And we entered into death, spiritual death. And now Jesus is saying, here's how you pass out of death into life. You're going to be attentive to my word and understand who I come from and where I came from. Now, here's kind of a seed that later on under the new covenant is going to grow into a more beautiful flower to be given a bigger expression. Jesus says to the 11 in the upper room, this is John chapter 13, he says, they're going to know that you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. He says, that's how everyone else is going to know that you belong to me. Later on in 1 John chapter 3, the same writer of the Gospel of John is going to make a statement that should sound very familiar. He talks about being passed out of death into life. How can we know that? This is what it says. This is 1 John 3:14. John says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. He says, this is that full blossomed idea of love, that we love one another. He says that you love your brethren. And he's talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ in these contexts. How do I know that I've passed out of death into life in Christ? It has everything to do with how we treat each other. Whether it be love that is forgiving, whether it be love that is giving and helpful, to see this picture painted, would that kind of love for one another be one that listens to Jesus, that understands the love that Jesus showed in terms of this comes from God? He says, this is eternal life. This is what Jesus lived. This is what we should do to imitate him. You think of the broad extent to which he goes to love us. It talks about in 1 John 3 that he laid down his life for us. There's the extent of love that's in eternal life. Now, look at the next verse here in John chapter 5, verse 25. Excuse me, John verse 5, 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is. He's telling them the time is present and it's going to continue on into the future. But he says it in a backwards way. He says, the time is coming, and it's already established now. So he's talking about the present case for these listeners, and even for us now. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. He's talking about spiritually here. Now, the physical resurrection is coming later on in verses 28 and 29, but we're not going to talk about that this morning. He says, the time is now where if you will listen to my voice, you will come to life. And he's not just talking about hearing it. He's talking about responding to what he's saying and what he's teaching. He says, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, do you recognize where I come from? He says, those who hear will live. If there's no hearing, there's no life. You just stay in death. You don't get to pass out of death into life if we're not going to respond to the words of Jesus. Verse 26. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. He says, I'm imitating my Father. My Father has life in him. I have life in me. He says, and I can give life. And sure enough, didn't he show that? He showed it on a physical basis in terms of saying, hey, he's only a few chapters away from raising up Lazarus from the dead. But once again, this context is not about a physical resurrection in these verses. You say, but you need to know that I have that power too. You listen to my voice, he says, and you have eternal life. You respond to me, because when Jesus gives the commands later about being baptized into Christ, what will you do with those words? You'll respond to them. And what will you find? Forgiveness. See, he's saying the time is, and it's also going to be. Now, He says, the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. But notice the next verse, verse 27. He says, and he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. And look at what else the Father has given him. Not just the ability to give life. He says, he has given me the authority to execute judgment. Now, it's one thing for a court. I'm going to go back thousands of years here. It's one thing for a court to say, you know what, this person deserves to die. It's another thing whenever the executioner shows up and he actually removes somebody's head off their body. He's saying, God has given me not only the authority to judge, but to execute his judgment. Oh, this is a vast difference. You want to stay in darkness? He says, I have the authority to execute judgment. If you want to pass out of darkness into life, he says, I have authority to give life. And herein lies the response. If we listen to the voice of Jesus and are attentive to him, recognize who he came from, he says, you will pass out of death into life. But if you don't respond to him that way, it only leads to Jesus executing the judgment of God. Because he has the authority. Now, all this boils down to, what's our response to the words of Jesus? He said, I want you to love one another as I've loved you. How do you know you've passed out of death into life? He says, because you'll love the brethren. You will sacrifice for them. You may sacrifice something you want to give something that is needed. There's a sacrifice. Now, thinking of these things, look over at Matthew chapter 25, page 988 in the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 25. Earlier in Matthew 25, Jesus is told a couple of other parables about distinguishing between wisdom and foolishness, distinguishing between good and faithful and wicked and lazy. And now he comes around to this third example. Look at verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. It says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. He says, when the Son of Man comes, and he's talking about himself, and he comes in all of his glory. He says, and he comes with all the angels. Now, if you read about it in Revelation, I mean, the number of angels is countlesses of countlesses. It's myriads of myriads is the way it's described. Here is the Son of Man coming to sit on his glorious throne. All the angels are there with him. Then, verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Notice who all is underneath his authority. All the nations come before his glorious throne. The throne is where judgments are made, right? The judgment between whether is someone responding out of faith to be shown grace or are they responding out of a hard heart to get judgment. Now, here he comes in this point. Notice it talks about him separating them out. He says, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. How easy is it for a shepherd to separate out sheep from goats? How many of us sitting here think, I don't know if I could even do that. I don't know a whole lot about sheep and goats. You could figure it out pretty quick. It's going to take about 5 minutes to explain it to you. He says, and here he is sitting on his glorious throne. He's reigning. And he says, sheep on the right, goats on the left. All the nations are gathered before him and he separates them out. Now, notice what he does next. I want you to pay attention to three specific things. In these two groups of sheep and goats, there's going to be some similarities. There's a place prepared for both. Both call him Lord. And both of them have similar opportunities put in front of them. The only difference you're going to find here is whether they really love the brethren or not. And you're going to get to hear some voices speak after their life is over. Notice verse 34. Then the king, who's the Son of Man going to be? I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I will be after I'm anointed king. I'm going to be anointed in blood. He doesn't tell them that part, but we know that's what's coming. And his resurrection is coming. Here he says, then the king will say to those on his right, the sheep, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says, come you who are blessed. Now, this specific word, Greek word for blessed, is where we get our English word for eulogy. To speak good words. What is the good words that the Father, that the King, Jesus, has to say about these sheep who are on his right? What are the good words in this blessing? He says, what would my Father have to say about these sheep? He says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I have a place that's prepared for you. Just in the same sense of in other places in Scripture, the disciples go to prepare the Passover for Jesus. There's a city that's prepared. It talks about that. Now, as you stop and think about, even Jesus talks about, I go to prepare a place for you. But notice how long this place has been prepared for. He says, since the foundation of the world. Then, here's the blessing that he gives. Here's what the Father, the one who sent Jesus, would say. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. He says, this is what the Father has to say. This is his blessing. And this is the words that the King is speaking of. He has authority to give life. Now, we'll come back and look at that more in a minute. Look at verse 37. Then the righteous will answer him. What are the sheep called now? They're not just sheep anymore. These are the righteous. How do they get to be righteous? How do they pass out of death into life? They listen to the words of Jesus. They recognize who sent Jesus. And he actually did it. And what were they told they would find? Eternal life. And all of a sudden, here's what the king has said at his glorious throne, and then the righteous have something they want to say. I have a place prepared for you. Since the foundation of the world. And then listen to what the righteous say. I want you to see how full of integrity and honesty they are. Verse 37. Then the righteous will answer him, the king, Jesus, the Son of Man. Lord, notice what they call him. Lord. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Can you imagine this moment for them? The king is saying on his glorious throne, I have a place that's been prepared for you since the foundation of the world. Enter in. I don't know that we ever did that for you. Can you imagine? The greatest gift and hope. And all of a sudden getting to this point and they don't say, let's just go on in anyway. They say, let's be honest. Let's be forthright here. This tells you a little something about standing before the king. When did we ever see you like that? When did we ever do these things? They're having a little trouble putting the pieces together, aren't they? Listen to the king. Verse 40. The king will answer. Can you appreciate that Jesus is speaking about the future? And he's the one who's telling this parable, this story. He says, the king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. If you love the brethren, even the least of them, whatever you do for them, the king says, I take it personal. It's just like you're doing it for me. I want you to think about that. How do we know we've passed out of death into life? Because you love the brethren. You would sacrifice for them. You're attentive to the voice of Jesus to respond as He commands, recognizing that He's sent from the Father, knowing that He has the authority as King to give life and also to execute judgment. Now, I want you to think about these statements that have been brought out. Think about them back in verse 35. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. What about if you see your brother or your sister in need of a common meal? Maybe it's even one of those moments where you're getting ready to order and they say, you know, I only have like $2 or $3 with me. What do you do? Well, you can sit and watch me eat. Or will you sacrifice? You know, we'll order whatever we can with the money we have and we'll split it between us. It's just like doing it for Jesus. He says, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Only have 12 ounces of water. You can have mine. Would that be a sacrifice? Maybe you say, let's share it together. I've had a time before in my life where I saw somebody take a water bottle that was full. It was actually halfway full. And they took a knife and they cut the bottle in half and then they split it between the two of them. I'll share. Now, notice he continues on. He says, I was a stranger and you invited me in. Do we ever have visitors or brothers and sisters in Christ who are traveling? You ever think about, maybe I can invite them to eat lunch with us? They'll probably turn you down most times because they're busy and on their way, but you go to make the offer. Sometimes people who are traveling don't have a lot of money left. Would we be mindful of that? Then, he says, a stranger and you invited me in. Would you like to stay at our house? Is that a sacrifice? Sometimes you go, I don't know these people very well. This could put me in danger. Let's see, did Jesus put himself in danger? Maybe that's the kind of love we need to grow into. And there are different situations for that, so don't take a blanket here. He says, naked and you clothed me. Ever seen someone you love and it's cold outside and they don't even own a coat? Do I have one in my closet I could give them? Could we go to the store? I don't want to embarrass them, but I want them to be provided for. What if they turn me down? Okay, we tried. Now, you see these things. He says, I was sick and you visited me. Sometimes people who are sick don't want to be visited. Sometimes it's okay just to ask. Maybe even just make a call. He says, I was in prison and you came to me. Now, don't take this one out of context. This is about people who are in prison for doing what's right. You did what was right and you're being persecuted and so you were arrested. Would you sacrifice and go visit them? You think that would be encouraging to them? You think that'd be a loving thing to do? Well, what about me? Yeah, when does love really ask about self? When did Jesus say, well, you know, this might be bad for me if I forgive this man in public because then they're going to want to kill me. And what does he do? He forgives them anyway. Because he sees the faith working inside. And that needs to be encouraged. You look at these things, and all of a sudden, what do you think these people would tell you if they could speak to you, do you think they would say, listen to the voice of Jesus? Do you think they would say, love your brethren? Because what's the alternative? Well, let's deal with those who are on the left. Verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, the goats, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, there's another place that's prepared too. And it's prepared for the adversary, the enemy, and his messengers, his angels. He says, and it's been prepared. But notice another aspect of verse 41. He says, depart from me. He says, you're going to leave this throne, but you're still under my authority. And he makes a statement, accursed ones. What does it mean to be accursed? Galatians chapter 3 goes in to talk about that Jesus took the curse for us. The curse is the wrath of God. And that's what enables him to give life. And he knows what it means to go through the wrath of God. And to go, now you are going to take the wrath of God for yourself. Because you wouldn't listen to me. And you didn't recognize who I came from. You never passed out of death. You stayed right there. Because you wouldn't listen. He says, and there's an eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Justice is coming for them too. And remember, Jesus has been given the authority to execute judgment. Look at how this continues. Verse 42. You'll see they were given the same opportunities. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. He says, you didn't do any of those things. You didn't do any of the things that would be about what is loving toward one another. Now, I do want to make a little statement here on the side. If you read about it in 1 John chapter 3, after the statement where it talks about, we know by this that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Right after there, it talks about in terms of, if you have the world's goods and you see your brother in need and you do not respond, John asked the question, he says, does the love of God abide in you? The answer is no. But the key is, if you have the ability. Don't see this as a heavy weight in terms of going, man, you know, I don't have these physical capabilities. I don't have this extra to be able to help with. And you go, sometimes it doesn't cost any money. Sometimes you have an extra coat in the closet. Sometimes you have extra food at the table. It doesn't cost you anything more. But at the same time, recognizing if you don't have it, God's not expecting you to give something you don't have. So don't get filled full of false guilt in reading through these verses. But understand, does God know what we do have? Because who gave it? He did. Now, here the king is saying to them, accursed, eternal fire, it's been prepared for the devil and his angels. He says, I was in these situations, yet you never responded. Notice their response, verse 44. Isn't it amazing how even beyond their earthly life, they remember what happened here? Isn't that something? Then they themselves also will answer, Lord. Notice they call him Lord. They call him Lord. So sure, this is going to turn out great, right? Do you remember the words of Jesus? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I command? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And yet, look at their response. Lord? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? When do we ever neglect you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I want you to realize he's just dealing in terms of the church here. This is not the church and then the nations. This is God's people among every nation. No wonder John wanted to make sure that we understood. How are you going to know if you've passed out of death into life? Do you love one another? If we're someone who gathers to worship God, and we go, I'm there every time the doors are open. I don't know anybody's name, but I'm there. How can you love somebody you don't know? How can you see a need if you don't have the conversations? You know what Jesus sees that as? If you're not willing to talk to them, how does he take it? You might as well not even talk to me. Doesn't he take it personal? Do we love one another? Have we passed out of death into life because we listened to Jesus? As you think about these things, you realize, does he not have the authority to give life and to execute judgment? What do you think these goats would want to tell you? Listen to Jesus. He's giving you what you need if you will only listen and respond. And then verse 46. The prepared places were ready. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And what was the difference? Being part of God's people, yet still being spiritually blind. We never saw anybody in need. Were we ever looking? Love looks beyond self and looks at the needs of one another. And that is what allows an outside world to go, you belong to Jesus, don't you? Because your love is different. It's not partial. It's not in terms of want to. It's in terms of we're going to be attentive to the King. And real quickly, let me show you how far this goes. Look over at Revelation chapter 6. Page 1229. Just three verses. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. 1229. Jesus is already sitting on his glorious throne. That's chapter 5. Now you come to chapter 6. Jesus is the only one, the Lamb, who is worthy to break the seals off of the scroll. Verse 9. When the Lamb, Jesus, the overcomer, broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. He says, I could look underneath the altar. This is the true tabernacle. This is the altar there in the very presence of God. He says, I could see souls. Can you see souls right now? Which tells you he is seeing spiritual things unknown to us. He says, I looked in the soul, in this, underneath this altar, and I saw the souls of the saints. He says, those who had been slain, they'd been murdered, martyred because of the word of God. They were going to do what Jesus said to do. They were going to listen to his voice and keep on going. They didn't care if it meant they would be killed for doing it. He says, and because of the testimony which they had maintained, they would not let go. Because they knew eternal life is what was hanging in the balance. To listen to the voice of Jesus. The Word of God. Verse 10. And they cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Are they still aware of what's going on earth? They are. I want you to notice the question they ask. They don't ask, will you avenge our blood? Because what do they know about God? He's righteous and just. What do they ask? How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you avenge our blood? They knew that it wasn't just that they should die this way. And here they are, and they cry out, how long? From judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Judging, a judgment being made, avenging, here's the execution of the justice. How long? And don't think they ask this with pride. Don't think they say, it's time. No, they're asking a question. How long? And I want you to notice how attentive the Lamb is to these souls that are in His very presence. You ever wondered, what happens when you die in Christ faithful? Who do I get to go be with? I get to go be with Jesus. Paul wrote about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said, we're not destined for wrath. He says, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will be together with Him. You leave this life, you get to go be in the very presence of God. Here these souls were. And the Lamb is attentive to their question. You have any questions? He has all the answers. Only one question they ask. Then verse 11. And there was given to each of them a white robe. If you look through the book of Revelation, whether you're in chapter 7 or whether you're in chapters 2 and 3 with the letters to the seven churches, white is always for the overcomer. It's for the one who has victory by the blood of Jesus. Because they listen to Him. Even if it meant their own death, they would listen to Him. And not do their own thing. He says, there is given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer. What are they enjoying with Jesus? Rest. They get a rest. What a beautiful picture of eternal life. Getting to rest in Christ. Because we would listen to His voice no matter what. He says, you should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. Jesus the Lamb says, there's more. There's more who are going to be killed. And I want you to realize this thought. Those who had been killed for doing what was right before God, were giving examples of what eternal life looks like. Can you imagine going to visit a dear brother or sister in Christ who's in prison, they're going to be put to death? You go to visit them because you love them, to encourage them. You know you're doing what's right. Stand firm in the faith. And maybe you would be a person who might even be present to watch one of your beloved brothers or sisters in Christ be put to death. And go, I want to live for Christ like them. I want to hold to the Word of God like them. I want to listen to the voice of Jesus like them. And to leave an example of faithfulness toward God, so that maybe someone else would also listen to Jesus at all costs. Do you want to be blessed by God? What do you think these voices after death would say to you? Think they would ever say, oh, it's okay, just give up? You think they'd ever say, you know, it's not worth it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. But love them like Jesus loved them. And love your brethren like Jesus loved us. That's what we've been called to. We've been called to eternal life.